signed up for your ministry, along with thank you cards that you can send to the people who have signed up. So if you could grab those on your way out, then that would be awesome. Or if you have any questions about that, you can also just see Linda, and she'll help you out with that. And also, Linda asked me to ask you all if anybody would be interested in volunteering to help clean up around the building. We could use a few more people who would be interested in actually doing that. It got really quiet whenever I said that. So I'm not like saying you have to, but I'll just come to your house and say, hey, you want to be a cleaner? So if that's something that you can do, can you just please see Linda, and she'll get you all set up for that. And then lastly, today, our children's minister, Wade, who was just right over there. Oh, there he goes. He is being ordained into ministry today. So that's going to happen at the end of the service this morning. So just hang out and be sure to watch that. So that's all we got. If you have any questions about anything, then please feel free to either see me, or you can see your bulletin as well. And anyway, we are just so glad that you are here, and we hope that you are ready to worship. But I'm going to pass it off to Katie.
Psalm 134 says, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is maker of heaven and earth." Let's stand and sing together.
For the Lord. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive.
Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder. Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder.
In the middle of the storm, louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise, death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
We have a new song to introduce to you this morning. It's called King of Kings, and I'm so excited because it's a song of praise, but it's also a song that teaches us and reminds us of the whole gospel, starting with Christ's coming, which we're going to be getting ready to celebrate here in a few weeks, but then also going through the death and resurrection of Jesus and even into the early church. So this morning, I just want to show you how the chorus goes first.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit.
So as we learn this over the next few weeks, I want to encourage you to take this time to prepare your hearts for Christmas, even as we keep the whole gospel in mind. So let's start from the beginning and join us when you feel comfortable, especially on those choruses.
We were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in
together. Holy God, we give you all the praise and all the glory this morning. We come before you so thankful that you have extended to us your grace and redemption. That means that we can approach your throne as your children, and that we can rely on your power and your active presence and working in our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept.
Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me.
When we look at the Old Testament sacrificial system, it's not for the squeamish, because there's a lot of blood. It's pretty gory. And when the priests would sacrifice these animals, their blood was taken and it was sprinkled on the altar. It was sprinkled on the utensils used for the sacrifice. It was sprinkled on the priestly garments. It was sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant. It was sprinkled on the mercy seat. And it was sprinkled on the people. And unlike most of us today, the Israelites would push and shove to get as close to those sacrifices as they could, because the idea that any of that blood would physically fall on them was a blessing. Not many of us would use blood as a cleaning agent, and none of us would think about using it as a detergent. In fact, when we get blood on our clothes, we struggle to find something to take it out. We even say, I hope this blood doesn't stain my clothing. So why does God use blood as a cleansing agent? Well, we might understand why Old Testament Jews would miss the idea of blood for cleaning. But for us today, there's really no reason for us not to grasp this truth. Medical science teaches us that one of blood's primary roles in our bodies is as a cleansing agent. It takes away the carbon dioxide, uric acid, all the toxins that we build up. Blood goes through our lungs, and as it does, it picks up oxygen. And the blood cells take the oxygen to the various organs and parts of our body and exchanges oxygen and pulls up our toxins, carries them to the kidneys where the blood is cleansed. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, Jesus took the cup in the presence of his followers, and the fruit of the vine represented his shed blood, necessary for the removal of our sin. However, if we followed the pattern of the Old Testament, it would seem that Jesus should have put his fingers in the cup of the juice and sprinkled it on the table, as well as sprinkling it on his disciples, but that's not what he did. He drank it. What represented his blood, he drank. Why on earth would he do that? We have to recognize that the blood of animals sprinkled on the people wasn't really capable of saving anyone from their sin. What does change us, transform us, and cleanse us from sin is Christ living in us. This is how Paul explains it in Colossians. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we come to this table this morning to celebrate Christ in us, our hope of glory, and the one who has cleansed us of our sin. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we're grateful this morning for what this table represents. Thankful that we can remember not blood that was sprinkled on articles or even on people, but blood that was shed at Calvary's cross, a special blood, one that had power to cleanse us from our sin. And so as we partake this morning, and we take of that bread that represents your body, we remember how spotless, perfect it was. And as we take the cup, we remember that blood that cleanses us from all our sin. And we ask a blessing upon these emblems and upon us who partake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're excited to have you here this morning. We have been blessed at Plainfield with a number of Timothys and Timothy-esses. And Jeannie and I were talking yesterday about our history and the number of young people that have come through our doors. And she doesn't just think of the children, but she thinks of the workers and all of the adults that played such a role in our children's lives and education. There was a time when we had a lot of men that were teaching in the back. And I kind of forget that because I'm here all the time. But she just remarked how grateful she was for all that participation, because you poured your lives into these boys and girls. And then they grow up, and we've got ministers and youth ministers and a music director, all from our congregation. And today we're here to set Wade apart. We're going to ordain him into the ministry. And come up here, Wade. I want to talk to you. And then I'm going to set you back down so you can just stand right there. We'll make sure we're on camera so you get your best side. Good. All right. And congregation, I'm going to have you do a response with us to start us out this morning. So follow along. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. That's yours. Speak. That was painful. Next up. Next one. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Very good. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?"
I have heard the call of Christ, and in the words of Isaiah, I respond, "Here I am, send me."
Amen. All right, take your seat. Very good. Thank you, congregation, for that. You don't have to clap for yourselves. It wasn't that good. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father and God, as we come this morning, it is with excitement that we meet before you, praising you for the way that you work in our lives, how you raise up men and women into your kingdom. And we have the privilege this morning of watching as one who has heard the call comes and pledges his life, his commitment, his devotion to you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would have an opportunity to speak to each one of us as we look into your word this morning and examine our own lives, our call to commitment and loyalty and devotion, all for the purpose of building up your kingdom and bringing glory and praise to your name. In Jesus' name, I pray it. Amen. Did you know that more than half of all the people who will come to a relationship in Jesus Christ do so by the age of 12? Did you know that by the time a child is 9, their basic moral foundation has been formed? Did you know that by age 13, a child has formed their basic beliefs about the nature of God, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of an afterlife, and the everlasting love of Jesus? Children are our greatest mission field. We're here today because Wade Harrier has heard the call of God, has pursued a course of study and has now come to be set apart and to serve the kingdom. And if Wade is to live out this calling, it will take strength, a great deal of strength. And where will the strength come from, and where is the secret to such strength? Well, let me put this into perspective. We don't come here today to anoint a fleeting romantic fantasy. No, we're here today to set aside a lifetime of service. This is not about today's notion, which is tomorrow cast aside for something else more interesting. No, this is about an identity. Nor do we come here today to center on a young man's talents and gifts, considerable as they are, but which may decline or become obsolete in the years to come. We are here today to lift up a whole life, heart and soul and mind and strength, to serve the Lord our God. We're here to call forth the gifts that God has given Wade for all the challenges to come. And I don't want to sugarcoat this. Wade's challenge is much more difficult than it was 20, 30, 40, or 50 years ago. Some of us lived in that time, and we had friends, maybe even ourselves. You see, back then, there was a time when parents were anxious to have their children in church, even if they didn't go themselves. Maybe you had friends that got dropped off and the parents didn't come in. They weren't interested, but they wanted their children to know about Jesus Christ. Those days are gone. Today, parents are more interested in getting their children involved in something, anything that is physical rather than spiritual. It will take more, Wade, than you personally possess. It will take the strength and the power of God. There is a cry that will be shouted in Wade's ear, a temptation that will be offered him time and again, and if he succumbs to it, he will be weakened and destroyed. If he yields to this temptation, he will not only lose his ministry, damage his reputation, but he will also destroy others in the process. When we offend children, when we drive children away, when we hurt children, God says that it would be better for a millstone to be hung around our neck and us being cast in the middle of the ocean. That's pretty serious. Children are a grave responsibility. This cry, temptation, is captured in a very pitiful verse in Judges chapter 16. It's found in verse 25. It says, and you can turn to Judges 16 because we're going to talk about that in depth in a minute. It says in verse 25, "It so happened when they were in high spirits that they said, 'Call for Samson that he may amuse us.' So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars." The New International Version says, not amuse us, but entertain us. And with only the slightest of changes, it could just as well read, "Call Wade and let him entertain us." And therein lies the problem, and therein is the issue. A quick summary of the story of this judge in ancient Israel. Samson had been given a gift of extraordinary strength. With his powerful arms, he'd been able to defeat Israel's enemies. Samson had a tremendous gift, and it attracted people. It caught the attention of folks who might otherwise have given no notice at all to an ordinary man of God. So the day came when the leaders of the Philistines, that persistent enemy of Israel, decided that they wanted to know the source of his strength. They offered Samson's lover of the moment some 1,100 pieces of silver. if she could just coax from him the secret of his strength. And Miss Delilah eagerly accepted the bribe and went to work. At first, Samson merely teased her with false answers, suggesting something about bowstrings or ropes or green vines, but of course it wasn't the truth. Finally, she wheedled out of him that his strength was in his hair. Look at Judges chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. It came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, "A razor has never come on my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all that is in his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her, brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. And then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. I think most of you know the rest of this gloomy story. How the weakened Samson was captured by the Philistines, was blinded, and was brought to their temple. That's when Samson heard that siren song, "Call Samson and let him entertain us." But all old Samson could do with his strength returned, but his vision permanently gone, was to pull down that house and destroy 3,000 souls. And himself to boot. And when that same world sounds its tempting song, "Call Wade and let him entertain us," he needs to learn from the ancient strong man the truth about the whole secret of strength. That the whole secret of strength is in using the gifts that God has given you for the building up of his people and not for himself. You see, Samson of old had something going for him. His gifts were so spectacular and so attractive, people noticed and wanted to know more. They wanted to know where his extraordinary strength came from. And that was Samson's opportunity to witness for God, but he missed it. Wasting time and focusing on himself, he had an opportunity to witness for God, but chose instead to mess around for his own purposes. Wade, the world is attracted to you. I've seen it. You've been given a personality and skills and talents that the world finds pleasant. Not only do you have a personality that kids are drawn to, you make them feel comfortable and safe. You also have musical ability, always a plus. It wasn't an accident that shortly after you came here, Pine Island Elementary was interested in you, and Algoma has called on you. Schools are interested in people with the skill set that you have. But Samson of old never noticed that when they call for entertainment, there is really something deeper that they need, because there is a heart hunger that they don't even know how to express. And when your youngsters cry out, "Wade, let's do something fun. Church is so boring. Bible study is so lame." Understand that they have no idea what is good for them, only what is fun for them. And you have not been called by God to entertain them, but to reach their hearts for Christ. Do not hear the siren song that says, "Mr. Wade, how great you are." Hear only the deeper heart cries that shout, "I wish I knew how to be strong. I wish I knew how to be felt, to be safe. I wish I knew how to know that God loves me." hear that deeper cry and lead them to Jesus, the only one that can supply that need. The world wants to know the secret of your strength, so use that opportunity as a witness for the kingdom. But then here's the deeper issue. There's the issue of integrity, of honesty, and of straightforward living. Because you will not keep your strength if, in fact, it becomes nothing more than a game, messing with the minds of others rather than a genuine witness for the Lord. The whole secret of strength lies in the integrity of your heart. Samson got into playing games with the secret of his strength. He found it more fun to dally with Delilah than to tell the truth about his walk with God. After all, he should never have been fooling around with his Philistine filly in the first place. He was an Israelite with a commitment to the ways of the Lord, but my guess is that the flatteries of admirers got to him. And he began to play games designed to build up his own credits rather than to do what he was called of God to do. If your only Bible study is to plan lessons for your children, if you urge your students to pray but you have no prayer life, if you challenge your students to evangelize their friends and bring them to church with them, but you don't do any evangelization, if you're not bringing anybody to Jesus, the children are going to see through you and you will have lost your influence. Now, there will still be kids coming because their parents will drag them. But once they are in your care, they will tune you out like they do every other adult. And you will have missed an opportunity. The whole secret of strength lies in integrity and not in playing games. Delilah found out that Samson's strength was not in his arms, nor in his hands, nor really even in his hair. It was with God. He's the one that gave him that strength, and he could only keep it as long as he lived in integrity. People who want to take your money will try and convince you that if you only read their book or listen to their CD or attend their seminar, you can be successful beyond your wildest dreams. Don't you believe it. What you really need is to continue to immerse yourself in the Word of God. The whole secret of strength is in the integrity of life and the sincerity of heart that you bring to your task. Be yourself. Be what God has gifted you to be. Don't get lazy. Don't get negligent. Don't take yourself too seriously. Just be grateful for what you have been given and use it. Use it for the kingdom, use it with honesty, and do not use it for yourself. Then you'll be able to live and die for the right things. Then you'll be able to live and die for something that matters. Even when you feel weak, you will be strong. Poor, sad Samson. The story ends with his pulling down the temple and destroying 3,000 souls as well as himself. Poor, tired Samson. That he did not have, as you have, the benefit of the example of Jesus Christ. He might have learned from Jesus the real secret of strength. Samson never knew Jesus. For if he had, he might have seen that his calling was not to die with the Philistines, but to live with and die for the children of God. Those are the ones that God had called him to serve. Samson never knew Jesus. For if he had, he might have found that his strength was not well used in pulling down a temple, but in building up the house of the Lord. You'll be tempted to be a critic. Isn't everybody? The church needs critics. Some of you have made it your full-time occupation. But your real task is not to tear down, but to build up the church of Jesus Christ. If Samson had seen what Wade sees, he would not have had to fumble in blindness, but would have provided clear insights to those who turned to him. When you get preoccupied with yourself, you can no longer see clearly. Your task is not to defend yourself when you are misunderstood, but to teach and preach with clarity and let the truth come out on its own. If Samson had found what Wade has found, he might not have destroyed 3,000 souls with misplaced muscle, but may have, like the apostles at Pentecost, preached 3,000 souls into eternal salvation. Oh, remember the mandate to go into all the world, and especially for you, my friend, into the world of young people, and bring good news. They'll die without Jesus. And you may be the only person in their entire life that will come to a place in their heart and mind where they will listen to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you don't give it to them, then their hearts might become so hard by the time they turn to be teenagers that Brady won't have a chance. Their hearts might be even harder by the time they become some old codger like your preacher. And we know from our study of Matthew week after week that unless you are a part of the family of Jesus Christ, unless you have named him as your Savior and Lord, there is no getting to God except through Jesus. That is your mandate. Oh, call Wade and let him do much more than entertain us. Let him use his gifts to touch hearts. Let him live his life with integrity. Call Wade and let him take up his cross and follow Jesus, losing his life for his sake and the sake of the gospel, and so finding it. This gift that you have, this call that you have, my friend, the world didn't give it. And in Jesus, the world can't take it away. For the whole source of strength is to use the gifts that God has given you with integrity and openness and a glad heart. And when you and your beautiful bride sat down with us on the night we considered your application, I believed that it was Jesus that had called you to us. I believe that it was Jesus that had arranged all of those circumstances for you and Maddie to be here. And I believe that you have been called to come to Plainfield, not to gather a paycheck, but to make a difference in the lives of children. Because children are not the church of tomorrow. Children are the church of today. Okay, enough of that. Come on up here again. And just a heads up, elders, I'm going to have you come up too. So if you want to get like close, you know, sit in the front row or something. Oh, microphone. Nice. Okay. All right. Have you, Wade, prayerfully considered the responsibility of living and preaching the gospel? And have you weighed the work involved and the sacrifices you may be called upon to make?
I have.
I thought so. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that the Holy Scriptures are the Word of God to make us wise unto salvation through faith in him?
I do, with all my heart.
Are you motivated, not out of a desire for position or earthly gain, but by the love of God and of your fellow men, and the wish to glorify him and save them?
I am.
Will you strive to build up the church, the body of Christ, to prepare God's people for works of service, to labor for the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God?
I will, as God gives me strength.
Will you endeavor to live a life of love within your family and in the community, and so draw others to Christ through your example as well as by your word?
I will make it the purpose of my life to live for Jesus Christ. And I ask your prayers and the prayers of this church to help me in this ministry.
Congregation, are you satisfied that he will be a worthy messenger and representative of the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you willing that he should be ordained this morning to the Christian ministry? All right. Let me pull this away so we can see these guys. All right. Elders, if you'd come up. Can break with social distancing here. And yeah, that's a mic right there. I can tell it looks like yours. It doesn't have a tail on it. Okay? So if you'll kneel, that's it. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, son. I want to tell you that right now. I'm proud of you. If you'll put your hands on him somewhere, and if you'll lead us in prayer.
Almighty God, we just come to you right now humbly to decree this life of Wade to you and your holy service, not just for his season here at Plainfield, but for the rest of his life. That we just ask that you bless him and Maddie and their ministry as they work with our next generation coming up. And in a world of so many truths, we just ask that you give Wade and Maddie the courage to preach the only truth.
That's right.
The truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody can come to you but through him. I just ask that not only with the courage that you give them the wisdom and the know-how and, to reach the lost of this world and these children who are desperately in need of you. I ask that you bless his family, mm-hmm. his marriage,
yes.
protect it, that they are able to always seek you in everything that they do, and I just ask that we as a congregation that are so thankful that he's here, partner alongside with him, that we find ways to support him, not only in prayer, but our service, and that we are constantly looking to help Wade in this ministry. We thank you for all things, and we thank you. We just ask that Maddie and Wade's life continues to be blessed, that your truth is here, not for his glory and not for ours, but all for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. You're in. Is this in your way? Are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we just leave this here?
So this next song is a song that has meant a lot to me through my life growing up, and so I wanted to share in leading that with you guys this morning. It's something that speaks of God's faithfulness and so much more, and so it's something that's grown my faith just as you guys have helped me as I've grown up here. So sing with us.
Summer and winter and spring.